Go with me again, if you would, to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." I love this psalm. I truly do. I love this psalm. This is a psalm that, kind of like Psalm 123, we're just going to go here a lot through the course of this ministry. We're going to constantly find ourselves here. This is precious. It's just precious. It's something that I love. I just love the thought of brethren dwelling together in unity. It just strengthens me. It encourages me. It makes me happy. And the Lord willing, this is what we're going to do for our message tonight. We're going to read through these three verses again, and I'm going to give you the definitions of these words as we go through it. And then, after I do that, we're going to see why Psalm 133 says what it says. Why it is, how it is that that can take place. And then, I just want us to enjoy the happy truth of Psalm 133. And then, we'll be done. All right? Now, just follow along with me here as I read this again. And it'll take just a brief minute, okay? I don't want us to get lost in this. But just let me give you these definitions. I'm going to give you a word, and then I'm going to expound the definition to you. And then give you a word and expound the definition to you. And I'm going to do this so we can see the heart of what this is saying, all right? Verse 1 says, "Behold, look at this. Be amazed by this." That's what behold means. Be amazed by this. How good. That means when you look the word good up, this is what it means. How beautiful. Just put that word right in there. How beautiful. How cheerful. How at ease. That's what the word good means. How at ease. And it is. At ease. How joyful. How loving. How precious. How valuable. That's what the word means. Behold how valuable. How becoming. How happy. That's what the word good means. Behold how happy. How right. He goes on to say, and how pleasant. That word means delightful, lovely, sweet sounding. It is for brethren, those who are of the same. Of the same what? Lord, God, faith, family, hope, salvation, of the same, of the same. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell. That means to remain. That means to abide. It means to stay. together in unity. Unitedness. Togetherness. Oneness. Just behold the value of it. Behold the happiness of it. Behold the beauty of brethren staying together in unity. Verse 2 says, it is like, it's a picture of, it's a representation of the precious ointment, the costly, the rare, the special, the sanctified, that set aside ointment. That means the oil of gladness, the oil of joy. You know, whenever they would anoint a priest, they would pour oil on his head. And that's what our Lord says he's poured on us. The oil of gladness, the oil of joy. And verse 2 says, it's like the precious ointment. Now read between the lines on this. Upon the head. That means the highest, the crown. That ran down. That came down. That descended. Upon the beard. Upon the face. Even Aaron's beard. That's the high priest's face. Aaron was the high priest. Aaron's name means the bringer of light. That's what his name means. Who is he a picture of? Christ, our great high priest. What this has said so far is this loving union that God has given to his people is like this glorious oil of joy, this balm of Gilead, this grace and mercy that has shined to us in the face of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down, continued down. It kept on flowing down. To the skirts. That word didn't mean what I thought it would mean. It means the word, the speech, the two-edged sound. That's the gospel. That glory from the highest crown of God descended to Christ, the Messiah, the man, and descended down to his gospel, his word, his speech, his skirts. Verse 2 ends by saying, the skirts of his garments, that means his train, his measure, his portion, which is his people. Verse 3 says, as the dew, that means the mist, the water, the washing, the refreshing of Hermon, that's a mountain. And it's true that Hermon was higher and snow collected on it. And in the springtime, that snow would melt and water would flow down. That is true. But the name means the sanctuary. This unity of love that God has given to his people. It's a picture of, it's because of, it's the result of the ointment of grace and mercy that God has flowed down through the gospel of Christ to his people, his sanctuary. Verse 3 says, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. The name Zion means the parched place, the thirsty place. That's me and you. It goes on to say, for there, right there, at the thirsty, dry place, the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent, eternal one, the true and living God, the absolute sovereign, commanded That means he demanded, he appointed, he ordered the blessing. The prosperity, that's what that means. The prosperity, the gift, it means the treaty of peace. That's where he commanded the treaty of peace. It ends by saying, even life forevermore. Eternal, never-ending, everlasting life. That's what Psalm 133 is saying. That's what it's saying. Now, this is why it's saying this. This right here is the reason for this unity. It's saying this glorious unity, this is what it's like, and this is what it came from. This is how it came. Here's the reason. Verse 1 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Oh, how good it is and how pleasant it is. And it is, isn't it? It is. It is so wonderful. It is so joyful. So pleasant. There is no greater joy that we have in this life than the unity of brotherhood and fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our happiness. All right, here's why. Here's why. And this is where I want to go with this. Do you know we're going to point out the fact that God's people are truly united together. They know it. They recognize it, as opposed to acquaintances with people who have no heart for Christ, or God's people are joined together. Here's why. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." And somebody's going to see that and say, "Well, there it is, every man." Amen. That ought to be our response. If somebody says, "Well, it says right there, every man," our response needs to be, "Amen. Amen. All that the Father gave to him. All of them. Every single soul that the Father gave to him. None of his elect are going to be left outside the blood of his sacrifice. None." In John 17, he said, "Not the world, but all that you've given to me, every soul that you've given to me." And right here in this chapter, just to point it out, he goes on down. If you look at the end of verse 13, he said, "I and the children which God hath given me." That's who he's talking about. So amen to verse 9, which says, "We see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." His own sufferings, the sufferings of the cross. "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." And this last line right here ought to just amaze us. The end of verse 11 says, "For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Verse 12 saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." He was not ashamed to call us brethren. Thank the Lord for that. How merciful, oh, how merciful. When I was lost in sin and shame, how you let me take the blame. He was not ashamed to call us brethren. He himself said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He is the one who said that. Unity in his life, unity in our death. He joined himself to us in our death. Unity in his resurrection, oneness. He was not ashamed to be our brother, our elder brother. Even though Ephesians 1 and 2 both say that we were at enmity against him, an enemy of him. He, of his own mercy and grace, Ephesians 1 says, adopted us. By himself, to himself, he adopted us into the household of God. Glory is the house of God. It's the household of God. The family of God. He adopted us with the payment of his own blood. And if you look at verse 14 right here in Hebrews 2, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." You know, those angels, a third of the host of heaven, fell. And he did not unite himself with them. He did not take on the nature of angels, but he did that for us. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." And that's what he does at all times for his brethren. He comforts their hearts by reminding them of their unity with him. He comforts them. Look with me at Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And what is that glory? Verse 29 right here said, "Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." We're going to look like our elder brother. We're going to be just like our elder brother, the one that we've been joined together with in unity, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Again, amazing. Just try to get your mind around that. We're going to be like him. His unity with us in not being ashamed to be a brother to us. That is the reason for the joy of the unity that we have with each other. Because he made himself to be our brother. That's what we have in common. That is what unites us. Because of his love in His unity with us, He has created a love and a unity among us. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It is precious. It is sweet. It is honestly what makes life on this earth worth living. It really is. Behold, He said, let's just look at this and take note of this and enjoy this and acknowledge this. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, loving, hugging, embracing unity. Paul said, I love in Philippians 1 verse 3, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He said, because of Christ, you're in my heart. And I long after you all. Peter said, finally, be of one mind. Have compassion on one another. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Love each other as brethren. John said, We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Our Lord said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And we do. I love you. It's the whole reason I showed up. Because of our Lord. We love Him because He first loved us. And we love each other because He first loved us. And that's probably what I ought to title this. I love you. I truly do. I thank the Lord. I want, you know, all of these exhortations in the Scripture for love, I want them. I want them. I desire them. I pray the Lord would give them. Again, I can't help but think about what we looked at recently. Ask. Lord, put a love in me for my brethren. Put a love in my brethren for me. Lord, let us do this. Let us enjoy this. Let us love each other as brethren. Go with me back to Psalm 133. I'll be brief here. Verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The eternal blessing of life. If we want to know what the blessing of heaven is, it's dwelling together in unity with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the blessing of heaven. He is the blessing. Unity with Him. That's the blessing. That's the prize. That's the reward. A loving, engaging unity with Him. And the blessing of temporary life, the life that we're passing through. We're just passing through here on this earth, waiting for this eternal life to come. The blessing of this life that we're living here on this earth is dwelling together in unity with the brethren of Christ, worshiping Christ, gathering around the Word of Christ, the gospel of Christ, the thing that unites us, which is Him. We don't have Him tangibly yet. Soon, you know, we all come in and we are a hugging bunch. And we're all going to go out and we're going to be a hugging bunch. Soon we're going to have Him and we're going to hug Him. We're going to embrace Him. But we don't have Him tangibly yet. We don't have Him physically in His flesh yet. But this is what He's given to us. as Ephesians talks about the earnest of our inheritance, this down payment, He has given us each other. And with Him living in His people, His Spirit dwelling in His people, that provides for them a true bond. They know it. They know it. And it's Christ. In Christ, there is a bond. We are connected. Outside of Christ, there's no bond. Not really. It's a oneness that God's people can't even put into words. Cannot put it into words. It's a love like we'll never experience anywhere else on this earth. It's a comfort and a peace and a joy like no other on this earth. It's real. We're not in religion. That's fake. This is real. This is the family of God Almighty. And it is wonderful. It is so wonderful that He has included us in it. Does our sinful flesh ever get in the way and ruin the peace and the joy from time to time? Sure it does. But His Spirit in us will remind us that nothing is worth losing this precious unity that He's given to us. And our hearts will say, amen. That's right. That's what I want. And that remembrance will not only bring the unity back, it'll make it stronger. It really will. So I want to close this message by just acknowledging some things that we can do to strengthen and keep our unity. Don't turn to any of this, but Ephesians 4 verse 3 says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor to keep it. Strive to protect it and strengthen it. How can we do that? Again, don't turn to these, but Philippians 2 verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, in lowliness of mind, let us esteem each other better than ourselves. I would like to have that. It's not possible for me in my flesh if the Lord does not in mercy give it to me. I acknowledge my downfall on that. I acknowledge what I am. But I ask Him on my own behalf, and I'll ask on all of our behalf, Lord, would You please allow me the privilege of esteeming my brethren more highly than myself? If He will do that, you know what that'll do for us? It will squash all pride. You're proud because you think, I'm proud because I think I'm better. And if the Lord would remove that from me, He'd remove that pride from me. And it would allow me to not ruin this wonderful thing He's given to me. I beg Him, Lord, please let me esteem my brother or my sister more highly than I esteem myself. Don't let my pride be a hindrance to the unity You've given us. Let's esteem each other consciously. Consciously, Lord, give me a conscience ability to esteem my brethren. Let's remember that we're about to spend eternity together, all right? We're going to be here just a few more minutes. It's all right. Love you. A few more minutes, okay? We're going to be here. It's okay. I love you. We're going to be here a few more minutes. We're just going to be here a few more minutes. Time is ticking away. It's going fast, 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 fast. It's going to be over. Some who are older are going to go on to be with the Lord. Some who are younger are going to go on to be with the Lord. We're all going to end up there very shortly. This will all be over. We're going to spend eternity together. We're going to spend eternity together. There'll be no frailties. There'll be no We're going to spend eternity together. Once one of us goes, one by one, they're not lost. They're not gone. They're just there. And we'll see them in just a minute. Let's remember. In just a minute, every molecule of our sinful flesh is going to be stripped away from us. It's going to be removed. And right around the corner, we're going to be in the very image of Christ Himself. We spend all this time saying, I just don't see it in me. Because of Him, for all eternity, every time we look at this, we'll say, I see it. I see what He's done for me. When He comes back for us, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we're going to be like Him. We're going to be just like Him. So, Lord, let me drop all pride and esteem my brethren as Christ. You talk about better than yourself. And let's remember that we're about to spend a sinless eternity together. And therefore, as Christ has done for us in thankfulness to Him, He said, you do the same for each other. He has been a brother to us. He will be a brother to us for all eternity. He is going to be a brother to us. What will heaven be like? Well, every need we have in every relationship way will be provided to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a brother, even as a friend who sticks closer than a brother, He has seen to our needs. He has provided for us. He has done for us. That's what we're going to do for each other. You know, Isaiah 65 says we're going to long enjoy the work of our hand. I believe it won't be for ourselves. I believe it'll be for each other. Better to give than to receive. Let's strive to be that for each other right now. Let's strive to be the kind of brother or sister that we would love to have. I want to be the kind of brother and sister that I'd love to have. Our Lord said, I've done that for you. You do that for each other. Let's call each other. I'm the worst about this. I'm picking these on purpose. I'll show you why in just a second. But let's call each other. We have no idea what a call or a text could mean to a brother or a sister who's in a moment of need. I have had moments where I was much lower than I realized. And a text will come through, or and a beautiful scripture will be attached to it, and just a word that says, I love you, I'm with you. You just have no idea what that can do for a brother or a sister who is in a moment of true need. It changes everything. It can change everything. Loving communication for a brother or sister who needs it can change everything. Let's call each other. Let's invite each other in our homes. Let's be a congregation that invites each other into our homes. Not every place does this. Let's be one of those places. Let's welcome and nurture the fellowship He's given to us. We will grow. I'm telling you, our love will grow. Our unity will grow. Our relationships will grow if we will spend time together and invite each other into our homes. Let's think on each other. Take a minute, sometime when you get a minute, get the church directory if you need it. Look down through there and you think about every person in this congregation. Pray for them. Every person, from the oldest to the youngest, pray for them. Thank God for them. Thank the Lord for them. Whatever their needs may be, there's always a need. Let's find one and see to it. Let's remember each other's feelings. Let's try to make each other's day better. How can I make your day better, not worse? I don't want it to be worse when I enter into your presence. How can I make it better? Here's why I say all these things. For Christ, our elder brother's sake, he called us. Thank God he called us. And there could have been no communication from him, but he called us. He invited us into his home. He thought on us. We just had a brother read, I know my thoughts toward you. If I count them, they're more than the sand. He prayed for us. He prays for us. He thanked his Father for us. He saw to our need. He remembered our frame. He remembered our feelings. And oh, did he make our great day better. That's what Hebrews is all about. He's just better. He just makes everything better. So may God let us behold. May he let us look at and acknowledge and thank him for how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Lord, give us that privilege. Please give us that privilege. Keep it with us. Strengthen us in it. Let love and unity in Christ abound here. That's our prayer. Lord, let it be here as long as you are here. Amen. All right, let's all stand together.